Have you ever had a relationship with someone where it felt like they were completely for you? Like they believed in you and wanted the best for you? Maybe you've had those in the past. Maybe you have one right now. Maybe you don't have one right now. And maybe that feels like you're alone and deserted and maybe in a desert. Today's message is going to touch on that broad gamut, that feeling of, man, I really need somebody in my life and it feels like my life is a bit of a desert right now relationally, to the far other end of the spectrum, this Hebrew idea called hesed, which is God's steadfast love, God saying, I'm with you. And we're going to do all of that through this one psalm called Psalm 107. So our senior pastor, McGray DeVega, in just a moment, is going to unpack this psalm, some metaphors in it, and what it can tell us about God's steadfast love, whether we're feeling it right now or whether we feel like we're in a desert, and how we can find hope through God's steadfast love. Check it out.
Let's pray together. Oh God, open our eyes to empathy, curiosity, and humility, that we might be generous and compassionate toward others and ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. The third stop on our topographical tour of landscapes in the Psalms is even more unfamiliar to us Floridians than the first two. We have little by way of mountains and valleys here, and we know even less about deserts. In fact, only a handful of states in the U.S. have deserts, and even there, we have found ways to make them habitable. We can pipe in irrigation, lay out power grids, and build shelters. No one in this country has to face the full ferocity of wandering in a desert. But the Hebrew people sure did. The Bible is filled with one scene after another of deserts and wildernesses. Moses wandered in it, as did the Israelites after escaping Egypt. Elijah fled into it to save his life, as did David. And Jesus was tormented by the devil in one. The Bible is one desert scene after another, like a mashup montage of Dune and Star Wars and Lawrence of Arabia. Yet even though we Floridians know nothing about deserts, we all know what it's like to go through one, emotionally, mentally, and most of all, spiritually. Psalm 107 is 43 verses long. We just read the first 9. But if you look at the whole chapter, you will find 4 different powerful metaphors, one of which is sure to resonate with you, with whatever hardship you are facing today. The first metaphor is in today's scripture reading. It's the metaphor of people lost in a desert. They wandered into the wasteland, the psalmist says. They couldn't find their way. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives were, quote, slipping away. Maybe that's what you feel like today. Or maybe it's the second metaphor in verses 10 to 16. Here the psalmist describes prisoners who are shackled, sitting in darkness, unable to experience freedom. So maybe you feel powerless against some fear or anxiety or sinful hang-up or temptation that renders you feeling imprisoned. Metaphor number 3. It's in verses 17 to 22. He describes a gang of foolish rebels who think they can do it all or know it all and have it all, only to discover that their false facade of self-reliance has landed them in serious, self-inflicted suffering. So maybe you're discovering the hard way that you need help, that you can't do it alone after all. Finally, in verses 23 to 31, there's the final metaphor. He describes a crew of sailors on a sinking ship in which the troubled waters of life have battered their boat and cracked their courage. And as their ship was sinking, the psalmist says, quote, the sailors' courage melted at this terrible situation, and none of their skill was of any help. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's the metaphor of your life right now. Psalm 107 is a multiple choice of miserable metaphors. Maybe you feel like a desert wanderer, a shackled prisoner, a wayward rebel, or a sinking ship, or frankly, maybe some combination of them all. If any of these metaphors have ever resonated with you, and especially if you're going through something like it right now, you're not alone. We have all gone through it, and this psalm is for you and me, by the way. 2 years ago, I could have picked any one of these four metaphors to describe what I was going through. I had reached a point of deep soul searching in my personal and professional life. I was carrying a lot of stress related to life and ministry, much of it connected to my role as chairperson of our conference's Board of Ordained Ministry. I was just a month away from an important clergy session of our annual conference, and all of those burdens, all of that stress was affecting me mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It did kind of feel like I was wandering in a desert. So I went on a personal spiritual retreat in May of 2022. I went to the St. John's Abbey in Collegeville, Minnesota, a monastery that I had first visited nearly 15 years prior for solace and prayer. For most of my time there, I attended prayer services with the monks 4 times a day. I went on long walks on a forest trail along a large lake. I read and I wrote in a very spacious study in the lobby of the guest house with large windows overlooking the beautiful grounds. For 3 days, I was searching and praying and discerning some really big issues in my life. I also met with a spiritual director. The most powerful moments came from talking with a wise monk named Father Ambrose. Father Ambrose and I met in a small, sparsely furnished room down the hall from the study. It contained just a table, 2 comfortable chairs, a painting on the wall, and the two of us. He began with a prayer, asking for God's illumination to be present in our conversation. And then he asked me to share the reason for my visit. And I unpacked everything. It was like opening a spigot to my soul. I was spilling out all the questions I was pondering. I told him about the burden I was carrying for the Florida Annual Conference, for the Board of Ministry, and the particular candidates for ministry whose career was being held in the balance. And I laid it all out for him as coherently as I could, weighing for him the pros and the cons and the risks and the rewards, hoping that if I could just clearly spell out all the details for him, then he could help me decide what to do. Father Ambrose listened intently, compassionately, just nodding his head in silence, taking it all in. And after I spoke for what seemed like an eternity, I finally stopped talking just to catch my breath. But what I was really waiting for was to see what guidance he would give me. And he just sat in silence, his eyes looking up for a moment as he pondered how to say what was in his heart. And then his eyes locked with mine. And that's when he asked me a single question that changed everything. But first, here's something interesting about Psalm 107. Psalm 107, with all of its metaphors of misery, is a psalm of thanksgiving. Surprising, right? It's a psalm of gratitude. And it begins with a verse that contains a word that is one of the most important words in the entire Bible, especially in the Psalms. Verse 1, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Now, here in the English translation, none of those words seem particularly remarkable, right? But make no mistake, to the original Hebrew worshipers who heard and sung and chanted these psalms, there's a Hebrew word here that is among the most important words in the Hebrew vocabulary and the Hebrew worldview. I think it ranks up there with Shalom and Shema and Hallelujah as Old Testament words that you should know. This word would certainly have been embedded in their hearts as the most important characteristic and attribute of God. It's the word chesed. It's spelled in English as H-E-S-E-D with a strong ch at the beginning. Chesed. It's one of the first Hebrew words I learned in seminary. It occurs nearly 250 times in the Old Testament, and more than half of those times are in the Psalms. And it occurs 6 times right here in Psalm 107. It is a word for which there is no direct English translation, and therefore requires a constellation of words to describe it. So here's a hint. Whenever you see the word love in the Old Testament and it is preceded by an adjective, that is likely the word chesed. Steadfast love, faithful love, love that endures, loving kindness, that's the word chesed. It's even translated as God's mercy, kindness, goodness. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his chesed, his steadfast love, endures forever. In the Hebrew world, it is the most important aspect of God. It is the one thing to remember about who God is. God is not just love. God is steadfast, faithful, enduring love, who will love you no matter what you're going through. And not just love you, but love you fully and extravagantly, more than you expect or deserve. Artist and musician Michael Card wrote a book on just this one word, titled Inexpressible: The Mystery of Chesed and God's Loving Kindness. And I love the way Michael Card defines chesed. Quote, chesed is when the person from whom I have the right to expect nothing gives me everything. That's the essential quality of God. That's chesed. We have no right as humans to expect or demand anything from God. Yet despite all that, God gives us everything. A love that we cannot earn, a love that stays with us and is faithful regardless of hardship. So 6 times in Psalm 107, the psalmist uses that word. Metaphor number one, some felt like wanderers in the desert, but they cried out to the Lord and he delivered them from their desperation. So the psalmist says, thank the Lord for his chesed and his wondrous works for all people. Metaphor number two, some felt like prisoners, held captive by shackles of their own creation. But they cried out to the Lord, and God led them out of darkness and shattered their chains. So the psalmist says, thank the Lord for his chesed and his wondrous works for all people. Metaphor number three, some felt like rebels suffering from their own facades of self-reliance, but they humbled themselves, they cried out to the Lord, and he saved them and healed them from themselves. So thank the Lord for his chesed and his wondrous works for all people. And some felt like they were on a sinking ship, staring into death in the depths of the sea. But they cried out to the Lord, and he quieted the storm. So thank the Lord for his chesed and his wondrous works for all people. And that brings me back to Father Ambrose. After pouring my heart out to him, all the burdens I was carrying, after he sat in silence, pondering his next words carefully, that's when he asked me the question that changed everything. McGray, do you believe that God loves you? It was my turn to sit in silence. So many thoughts raced into my mind at that moment. My first thought was to say, yeah. Have you forgotten what I do for a living? I'm a pastor. Of course I believe that. I'm supposed to believe that. If I didn't, then I'm in the wrong business, Father Ambrose. Sheesh. My second thought was to say, what a stupid question. I mean, how does this help? Father Ambrose, I came here needing answers. I was looking for clarity or guidance on some big decisions I was needing to make. I didn't need a reminder. I needed direction. Fortunately, my filter was working at that moment, and I didn't say either of those things. So instead, I said, "Yes." Father Ambrose then paused some more. With a kind smile, looking me in the eyes, he knew, somehow he knew, what I was really thinking, but I didn't choose to say. It was then that I began to realize the profound nature of what he was really asking me. He wasn't just asking if I understood that God loves me, not just if I claimed that God loves me. He was asking something much deeper, much more personal. He was asking what difference my belief in God's love for me would make in my life at that moment. Father Ambrose reminded me that when times are tough, when stressors feel too great to bear, when decisions seem too difficult to make, that's when we can most easily lose sight of this most important truth in our lives. Chesed. God loves us. God's unfailing, steadfast, faithful chesed is with us. God loves me. God loves you. Personally and directly. And in the words of Michael Card, we have no right to expect or demand anything from God, yet God loves us fully and deeply. If that were not true, then nothing else matters. But because it is true, nothing else matters. By the end of my time at St. John's Abbey, I did actually receive clarity about many of the things that I was wrestling with. But none of it would have mattered if I had not answered the one question that I did not know I needed to ask. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that the chesed of God is with you and for you? No matter what you and I go through, no matter what desert wastelands and wildernesses you are experiencing, no matter how fraught the future may feel, cry out to the Lord. And in the words of the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray. God, you are the source and object of all things love. You are steadfast and faithful amid all of life's highs and lows. Your love for us is so easy to forget. The distractions of life seem too great. So, cure us of spiritual amnesia. Remind us in every moment of your love, which truly is enough to lead us through the deserts of our lives. So may your love be an oasis for our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you found this message helpful. One thing I love about the word hesed is the way that the Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann translates it. You know what he calls hesed? Tenacious solidarity. If you can think of God as being tenaciously in solidarity with you, maybe that's a fresh idea for who you think of God as being. Not as a judge, not as an arbiter, not as a moral code holder who kind of tells you what you're supposed to do and not do, but a God who is for you, who is tenaciously with you. Maybe that'll be something that you can take with you this week. If you want to take this message further, down in the notes below are some reflection questions, a way you can join a small group, or just discuss this content more within the context of our community. We'd love to have you join us. You can find all that in the notes below. I'm Matt Hotho, and I'll see you next week.